How many of you know that the Word of God is awesome? It's so awesome.
It is indeed.
You know what? It's truly, truly amazing. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for everyone who came out. It's really, really exciting. It's not the first Sunday of January. We were away last Sunday, but I hear that Ty did a great job. I heard good reports. Right after the service, I got messages. So how many of you were here? Did he do a good job? And so I'm really proud of them. Today, they're on their way to a youth pastors convention in Niagara. So pray for them as they travel. It's called Time Out. And so it'll be a great time of refreshing for them as well. And so I just am very thankful for everything that they do as well. And I say thank you a lot to all of you, and it's a great privilege for Linda and I to be part of your lives, to be part of this church, to be part of the body of Christ, and to be able to serve. And we are very, very thankful for that. Yesterday I felt like retiring, and today I feel. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You just feel like, you know, I wish I didn't have to go to work today. How many of you ever felt like that? Be honest.
Everybody.
Okay. But then it's funny. When you get here and you see, and I walk in the door and I see Lee and I see James, and I'm greeted by Adele and with Fallon, and the worship team is starting to practice. I'm thinking, man, are we ever blessed? We are so blessed. So good morning. And it's 2020. Who would have ever thunk it? 2020. Did any of you ever think you'd live this long? You know, like 2020. Like 2020. Like it's crazy. Like that's like 2020. Man, oh man. Did you ever think you'd live this long there, Dave Patterson? 2020? You thought that the Lord would have come back by now, didn't you? I know. How many of you thought the Lord would have come back by now? You know, and it's just so. So I'm just pleased to get a good report from last week. And this morning I am preaching from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And there's a reason why I'm preaching from those verses. It's because every year these verses come up on my radar at this time of year. I even shared some thoughts from these verses when I was at Calvary couple of weeks ago, and I have shared from these verses over the years at this church. But they're very, very important verses for me personally, and I'm always drawn to them at the beginning of a year, at the beginning of a new year. And I want to begin by telling you a story. We began pastoring in Guelph, Ontario in 1995. And we were there for 5 years before we came here, and I was called to preach the last Sunday of the year. So that would have been, Linda preached that Sunday, I was away preaching somewhere else, and I was called to preach the last Sunday of the year. And traditionally, that was a position for our lead pastor in our church, but I was called upon to do it. And we began in April of 1995, and I probably preached twice, and I wasn't a communicator before that. And so here I am before a congregation called to do the last service of the year, and I was pretty nervous because traditionally, like I said, our lead pastor would share thoughts about the previous year and the new year, that what it would look like and stuff. So here I was with the task of preaching the Word of God before a congregation, but what would I preach? I wasn't given direction of what it would look like. The pastor is great. He said, whatever is on your heart is okay with me. And so I was at the task. So I went to prayer seeking the Lord, and I was a young pastor just learning to hear the voice of God for messages. It's interesting because I don't know if you knew this, but we spend a lot of time just trying to hear the voice of God for the messages that we would communicate. And if we're faithful to do that, that's part of our discipleship as pastors, to be able to hear what God is saying and then hopefully communicate it well to all of you. And so here I was this young pastor learning to hear the voice. And I arrived at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Now, a rookie pastor going to the book of Revelation is a task. Okay, it's like who really knows everything about Revelation? And so here I am, I'm in Revelation. I'm pretty excited about it. I felt his peace until I read over the verses, especially verse 4. And so in Revelation chapter 2, in these verses, Jesus, he's speaking to all the churches. He's speaking to the churches. So please turn with me for a moment to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it says this in verse 1. It says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." So verse 4 is tough. You have this rookie pastor, and you're going to preach this message to a congregation that I think today is about 90 years old, 80 or 90 years old. And I think they probably have one or two of their original members still attending this church. So it says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do not... Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, like I already said, our church in Guelph had seasoned people in the church. Some worked in head office. Some worked for district office. there were officials within our fellowship that were there. And so my comment to the Lord was, "Lord, are you sure that you want me to preach these verses?" And he said, "Yes." And I was obedient. And the outcome was that dozens and dozens of people responded to the Word of God. Board members, head office people, district people, retired pastors, and many from the church came and thanked me and opened up their hearts to me, saying how timely the word was for each of them. These verses are about us having a heart after God and not a lukewarm heart. That's basically what these verses are. And since that time, I regularly review them and try to imagine how God feels about a lukewarm heart. How does God feel about a lukewarm heart? How does he feel about that? My heart, your heart, the church's heart, the body of Christ's heart. How does God feel about a lukewarm heart? And if you love God and you worship God and everything, well then, that's pretty riveting to your spirit. It's like, really, I wonder how God feels about my lukewarm heart. Not how I feel about it, but how do you feel about that, God? And as I've grown in my relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I know that one thing remains constant when it comes to the Lord. The Lord is searching throughout the earth for a certain kind of heart. He's searching right now in this congregation over all of you for a certain kind of heart. So firstly, what we see in these verses is that Jesus knows everything. He knows everything about Ken Jeffrey. He knows everything about you. You know, he knows the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows it all. He knows it all. There's no hiding place from him. And first of all, we shouldn't have to hide from him. Okay? Because why do we automatically think that he's looking for the bad stuff? Maybe he's just celebrating all the good stuff in you. And maybe he just wants you to elevate to the and so that you could see the good stuff that he sees in you. Why do we always default, oh no, if he really knew who I was, he wouldn't love me anymore. Why do we default to that position? Why can't we say, thank you, Lord, for seeing all of the things? You know, we were at a hotel the other day. I've been saying for years, I said, when we walk into a room, the atmosphere should change because of the presence of God within us. Amen? It really should. We need to get that into our spirit. We need to believe that. So we walk into the hotel. Linda had a stomach flu. It was terrible on Tuesday. We arrived in Barrie at the Christian bookstore, which is now closing. We're disappointed about that. But all of a sudden, she had this stomach flu that hit, and she was so, so sick. And we were supposed to go out for dinner that night to the Keg, and she was sick. And it was like 2 hours back, 2.5 hours back to North Bay, or 40 minutes to our hotel. So we decided to go to the hotel. Halfway to the hotel, we stop at one of those en routes because she couldn't make it all the way to the hotel. She was so sick. She walked into the hotel, went right to bed. It was about 2:30. I called, and we got an early check-in at the hotel. They were very graceful to allow us in, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's poor girl's birthday, and here she is, and she's in bed in a hotel, and she's sick, and she was so sick. So I prayed, and then all of a sudden, at 6:30, she wakes up. And I was in bed too, just on my phone reading, and I guess that's where we're going to stay the rest of the day. And she woke up and she says, let's go to the Keg. And she was fine, okay? So the next morning we check out, and it was the same girl from the day before, and we went and we just started to thank her. And we said, you know what, my wife was so sick yesterday, and I said, you were so graceful to allow us to come in early. They sent up a special thing to the room once we were in, because they knew she wasn't feeling well, and they sent up a special thing with water and everything. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. So we just spoke into her life. And so here before us, we have this Chinese girl, and she started to cry. Okay, she just started to cry. And that happens all the time. And the love and the presence of God in each of us, it should make people smile, or it should make people cry, or it should make people be thankful, or it should do something. The presence of God within our lives should affect somebody around us, shouldn't it? So, you know, he knows everything about us. And these are the words from Jesus. Jesus Christ is present in the very midst of the church. And he is intimately concerned with his church. He is intimately concerned with Gateway Church. He is intimately concerned with each of your lives. He is intimately concerned with the body of Christ at every church and every Christian. And Jesus is looking at their heart condition. And so as we enter into 2020, I always want to check my heart. I don't want to do things just because we do things. I don't want to go have a board meeting with our pastor's council and all pat each other on the back because, well, we had so many salvations in the house. We made budget this year and everything like this. No, I want it to always be about our heart. I want it to be always about a congregation that does everything to an audience of one. So I always am drawn to these verses because Jesus knows everything about us, and he's looking at our heart condition. He's not so much looking at all the good things that we do and how kind we are and how fun we are and how laid back we are and how wonderful a pastor's council is, because the pastor could just leave the sanctuary and say, I'll be back. And they just laugh and they, you know, he's looking at our heart. Secondly, we see in these scriptures here, he praises what is good. How many of you want the Lord Jesus to praise what's good in your life? And he praises what's good. He goes, he looks at the church at Ephesus and he commends them for their hard work. Oh my goodness, are there hard workers in this church? There are, you're amazing. Like, you're amazing. For the things we do, for the size of the church we are, is absolutely incredible. Okay? It's amazing. People have been drawn to our church because of our social media presence. They think we're a church of 1,500 people when they look, when they come. So who does your social media? Well, you know, I do some, Linda does some, you know, and stuff like, what? Okay? We do things well. We have good people who do things. They are commended for enduring hardships and not growing weary for serving in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was an important city. How many of you know that? Ephesus was such an important city. Much of the trade from the east came through the port at Ephesus. It was just like a hustling, bustling kind of place, kind of like a Toronto type of place or a Montreal kind of place. And in the midst of this city, we have this church. We have this church, a very good church in the midst of this city. And Paul wrote the book of the Ephesians. He was not writing to address problems like they had in other churches. We don't have a lot of problems. Oh, yeah, we have, you know, you have issues, okay? We all have issues. And so you deal with your issues, and things come up, and life happens, and there's owies and hurts and pains and all of those things. And so we deal with those kind of things because that's life. We just kind of do it. But he was encouraging them because they were healthy. They honored God. They honored each other. And he tells them, in Jesus, he says, I know their deeds, their hard work, their perseverance. He praised them for doing it right. And just as Jesus cared for each of these churches, he cares for our church. He cares for Gateway. And he wants us to reach our greatest potential. Amen? He really does. He wants you to reach your greatest potential. He really does. He is for you. I am for you because I hang out with him. And if you hang out with him, you should be for me too. Amen? That's just the way it works. But then thirdly, and this is the hard part. So here you have this young preacher. I'm still young. But you have this young preacher standing before all of these kind of district and head office and seasoned pastors, some of them retired. Some of these people, man, they've been saved longer than I've been alive, and they're there. And so I'm standing before them, okay? So I'm here. I'm standing before this congregation, and I said, and thirdly, okay, and there's like 400 people, 500 people there, okay? And I said, and thirdly, Jesus criticizes what's wrong. You could hear a pin drop, just like right now, okay? Jesus says in these verses, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Really? Think about that for a second. You have forsaken your first love. I don't know about you, but man, that sends chills up my spine, okay? Like, it's like, really? Really? Oh my goodness. The Ephesian church had been faithful and diligent in its ministry, yet Jesus challenges them. Jesus challenges this church to show that Christians can have the right beliefs and do the right things, even enduring hardship for the cause of Christ, but still be lacking in their personal relationship with him. And that's what he's showing. And the Ephesians were giving God their service, but they were not giving them God themselves. And that's what I want for us in this church, and that's what I want for each of you. And this is how I pray for each of you, that you would give yourselves, not just to the Gateway family, but that you would give yourselves completely to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. In 2020, you would give, you would submit yourself to him in a relationship. What would cause this in their lives? What would cause this in my life? What would cause this in your life? Well, I know what would cause it in my life. I know me very well, and I know what would cause this in my life. But I want this to be really encouraging right now. So we're going to switch it over to really encourage you. And as I'm going through what I'm going through now, I want you to be thinking, okay? Listening to what I'm saying, but I want you to be thinking about things that come into your heart and your mind, things that, moments in your walk with God that have been amazing, things, people who have touched your life. I want you to start to pull those things together, okay? Can you do that with me? So you have to listen and think at the same time, okay? So what would cause this in their life? Well, I know what would cause it in my life. I really do. Like, I'm so not perfect. I'm so not perfect. But I do love him, and I am teachable, and I do want him to say, Ken, I know you love me, but I know how to prevent it. So I have never forgotten when we gave our hearts to the Lord together. Okay? How many of you think about the day you got saved? Okay? I have never forgotten. There's not a week that goes by, honestly. Sometimes there's not a day, there's not a week that goes by where I don't think about the night when Linda and I made a confession of faith and gave our hearts to the Lord together. What a beautiful night that was. Okay. That keeps that heart sizzling. Okay. I never forgot what that was like. I remember that night. I remember our first spiritual mothers and fathers that loved us and discipled us and prepared us to become pastors. They saw the calling on our life, I think, before we saw the calling on their life, and they started to prepare us. I never forget that. Just the other day, we were talking to our spiritual mom, Marg. They're well up there now, and we're still in touch with them. To be victorious, we must invite the Spirit to give us a fresh vision of Jesus so that our passion for him sizzles. I've been saving up. And you know these barbecues, they have these little side things on them, and you could sizzle like a steak in like 2 minutes or something like this. Goes to 1,800 degrees. I want this heart to be 1,800 degrees. Okay, I want it to sizzle. I don't want to cook a steak for 20 minutes or something like that. I want it done in 1 minute. I want my heart in less than a minute to be sizzling for Jesus. You just mentioned his name. I want it to sizzle. A spiritual father in 1989 introduced me to some verses that have become some of my life verses. How many of you have life verses? You know, they're just those go-to life verses. Okay? And if you don't have them, start to read the scripture and start to ask the Lord to say, Lord, are those verses my life verses? And he will give them to you and he will put them on your heart. Mine are Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And it's this, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Oh my goodness. You all know these verses. Some of you don't know it. If you're new, these are amazing verses. So listen to what I'm going to say. I kneel before the Father. This is Pastor Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, I bow before the Father. I kneel before the Father for you as a church. I kneel before the Father, Gateway Church, that your first love will sizzle in your hearts so that the evidence of your salvation would be so, it would project to all the world around you. Amen. So he says this, he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Now think about this, okay? So you just gave your heart to the Lord a couple of weeks ago. Now all of a sudden you're looking at Ken and Linda here, and we're just newly saved like you. And we're given these verses. And I read them, and it was like, oh my goodness, I want this in my life. You could just imagine. I pray for you that you will have life verses that will carry you and carry your child for many, many years, so that you will never lose your first love, that none of you will lose your first love. Amen? In 2009, Watchman for the Nation. This is why my heart stays hot for God. In 2009, the Watchman for the Nation made a journey across Canada en route to Ottawa. And North Bay was the last stop before Ottawa. And people from all parts of Canada were at Gateway Church in North Bay. And Pastor Doug Snyder from the Embassy Church in Oshawa, he stayed with us. It's a huge church. He's an apostolic pastor in this region, and he's known in Canada and beyond. And he's staying at our house. And he tells us about our church. And so we tell him, we say, well, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. And he goes, wow, that's awesome. You work together, you pastor together. What a blessing that is. And he goes, now tell me about your prayer life. Stop. We didn't really have a prayer life. We prayed in our connect groups and stuff like this, and we had token prayer. And I prayed. I never not prayed, but we didn't have corporate prayer. Okay, we didn't know what it was to storm heaven the way it was. We've been a work in progress too around here, and we've learned how to do things. Today, we have a powerful prayer ministry. And it makes my heart sizzle when I see people running the race passionately in love with Jesus Christ, the Lord, their Lord. You have no idea what that does to my heart. We did a series in the book of Hebrews in 2019. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin... And the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race. This is one of the most stirring verses that you could find in Scripture. It is a race to know God, to commune and to fellowship with Him. And at the end of the message, we had, how many of you were here at the end of that message? We had a relay race through the church. How many of you remember that? And we started over here, and I had a Bible in my hand, and I went and I passed it off to one of the people, and it was every demographic represented in the church. It was young people, middle-aged people, and they ran. It's just like, it was so much fun, you know, to see people doing a relay race through church. Church doesn't have to be religious, you know, it could be fun. And then right over here, Darlene, where you're sitting, Dorothy Antrim usually sits there, you know, or right around there. You know Dorothy, you've met her already, you know. And this lady just gave her heart to the Lord too, just recommitted, and it was awesome. And so she's there, and so we come, we hand her the Bible, someone comes, a relay, and she stands up. And she comes walking up here with the Bible. And you know what she says? She just turned 98 years old. You know what she said? She says, Pastor, everyone could hear. 98 years old, and everyone could hear her. That's cool. And she says, Pastor, I'm running the race. Okay? Sizzle! What are your stories? What makes your heart sizzle? Okay? So that when the Lord comes, He can't say that you're lukewarm. That little lady, 98 years old, when we had a birthday party for her, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget praying for you right outside the hall. Do you know what we did, Darlene? See Gene over there? Gene, show. You know what I did? He serves on our pastor's council. I saw him coming by. I didn't want him to miss the opportunity, so I said, Gene, come on over here. Okay? Another person. Your daughter the week after. Okay? So who was there? Kathy. And who else was it? Kathy and Marianne. Marianne's not here. So your daughter comes. So I said to them, I said, salvation in those, salvation in those. Come on. So that the leaders could see people being saved within the house. Sizzle! Sizzle! It's good. Fourthly, Jesus exhorts us. In verse 7, he says this. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And if we don't, the word says the lampstand will be removed." Marlene walks in this church, just one of many people walks in this church, and she says, as soon as I opened the door, the presence of God was so strong in this place that it almost knocked me down. Okay. How many of you have experienced that here as well? Okay. We're blessed. Okay? It's not something that we do, but we want His presence. Now, imagine the lampstand being removed. Imagine it being removed for a second, and it just becoming like a club, okay, where you're just staring at the back of each other's heads. There's no power in the house to see salvation in the house. There's no power in the house to see healings. There's no power. There's no belief in that at all. And the lampstand was removed. I got to tell you something. The artist, Michelangelo, once explained his creative process this way. He says, "I saw an angel in the marble and carved until I set him free." Isn't that amazing? Michelangelo could see at the slate of stone and see what would come from it. And God looks at us and God looks at you and says, "I know what you can be. I know what I can make you into. I know, because God sees potential. God has a plan for each of us." Amen? Amen? He has a plan for each of us. He has given us gifts. He has given us talents. He has given us abilities. He has given us resources to use for His glory. Sissel, okay? That doesn't make for a lukewarm heart for me. That makes for a sizzling heart. Jesus is walking amongst the lampstands, and He knows all. And those who listen and do what the Spirit leads them to do will be victorious. Will be victorious. How many of you want to live victorious lives? How many of you are kind of bored with the mundane? Okay? And church could be mundane without the Spirit of God. Okay? Church could be mundane if you're going through the motions. Church could be a real drag if we don't have our in-love relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. It says, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." See, Jesus Christ renews a person's mind. How many of you remember the old you before your mind was not renewed? Amen? Hey, Fallon, come on over here a minute. Come see Pastor Ken. I want a hug. Come give me a hug. Come on over. Come and give me a hug. Come on. When we approach God through Jesus Christ, the most wonderful thing happens. Can you attest to that? Am I putting anyone to sleep? A new heart and mind stirs us to love God because He has renewed us. And our hearts are stirred to seek His face continually. Amen? And this means we are seen as righteous before God. We are seen as righteous before Him. Amen? And that is awesome. That is awesome. I just closed my thing on myself. And I'll skip over that part. I see a few heads going over there, and so. When Jesus Christ says that the Holy Spirit, hi. Hi, sweetie. Hey, you know what? I love you. What? Say it in here. I love you.
I love you.
sizzle. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're deeply loved by God. Amen. And God's people, you know, God's love for people is beyond our comprehension. So close your eyes with me for a minute, okay? And we've been talking about, you're awesome. You're a beautiful girl. I love you. Yeah. You love me too? Yeah? Aw, thank you. I could hear that about 1,000 times a day. Amen. So have you folks been thinking about all the good stuff that God has been doing in your life? As I've been sharing some of the ones that keep us from being lukewarm. So I'm going to ask you something. Close your eyes with me for a second. How many of you would say that your heart's been kind of lukewarm? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you want who put up your hand want it to stay that way? Not one hand has gone up. And how many of you are going to do something about it as opposed to just admitting it? Can I see those hands? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For every one of you who put up your hand, and for those of you who didn't, I got to tell you something. Our God loves you so, so much. And I want you to just imagine with me looking in a mirror, okay? So visualize with me looking in a mirror that's before you, okay? And I want you to look into the mirror and the reflection pointing back at you. And I want you to say your name as you look into the mirror and look into the mirror and say, I love you, Ken. Not Ken, but your name, okay? But I want you to look into the mirror in front of you and I want you to say of yourself, I love you, okay? Can you do that with me? Look into the mirror at yourself and say to the person looking back at you that I love you. Just do that with me, please. All of us should do that. Because He loves you. And if He loves you, you should love yourself. And sometimes we get lukewarm, not because we don't believe that He loves us, it's because we don't love ourselves. And we need to love ourselves because our hearts and our minds have been transformed. We are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. When you look, it's not the same person. Okay? I'll tell you one thing. The devil has power, but the devil does not have authority. Okay? And we have the authority to say to the devil, devil, get out of here, and God will come with all His power to answer that prayer. Okay? At the cross, the power of the devil was not taken away, but his authority was taken away. And because of our righteous standing with God, we have the authority now to say, away from me, devil. You have no right to accuse me any longer. How many of you have been guilty of allowing the devil to accuse you here this morning? Okay? Don't do it anymore. He does not have the authority. You have the authority to say, away from me. And as a result of having that authority, God will send His power to make sure that it's gone. Okay. So, Father, I thank you. Could we all come up here for a second? Close this service in prayer together as a family. Come on up here a second. I want to do something here. Are we a family? here. Honest question. Are we a family? Are we an honest family? Do we trust each other? Okay. If you put up your hand there, would you be willing to take a step forward and put your hand up again, and then I'm going to have people around who didn't put up their hand just lay their hand and pray for you. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? You put up your hand because you felt your heart was lukewarm towards the things of God. Anyone else? Did you put your hand up? Okay, can you step more? Can you step more? Can you step more? Come on up here. Come on, Aaron. In this house, we honor God. We honor each other. Okay? And not one person in this house is more important than anybody else, including Linda and I and the pastor's council here. Okay? And what we do is we help each other. We never hurt each other. So I want you to gather around Aaron, Jennifer, and Delage, and Amy, and Terry, as a family. And Nicole, come on over here, Nicole. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. And Nicole, too. Come on over here, please. And before I pray, come on in front of them, okay? And just speak a blessing in your little group over here. Come on, lay hands on her, too. Come on over here. Don't be shy. Come on over here. Come on, girls. You are so brave to come. Most important thing is to step out and invite the Lord into your situation and re-invite him into your heart. Help him to help you recognize your first love, the things, the stories, the people, the signs, the wonders, the worship services, the miracles, the love, the words of wisdom, the words of kindness that have been spoken into your life. I want you to think about those things and not about all the circumstances of life, because you'll always have circumstances of life. But each of you in this congregation, those who put up your hand here at this altar this morning, and those of you who are at the altar praying for someone, you are kids of the King, okay? And just like we always say, the atmosphere should change where the presence of God is. And we always think that it's going to happen outside of these walls. It's going to happen right here. And as a result of your being a carrier of his presence, the atmosphere should change right at this altar in each of our lives. And I pray for each of us right here at this altar now that we would fall in love, a deeper love, with our Lord Jesus Christ, so that if he was to walk amongst the churches, that he could never use verse 4 on us, but that on you. So I want any self-condemnation to be lifted right now in this house. We are so good at that, of condemning ourselves, of not measuring up. We give that away right now. Everyone, give it away. Everyone here, not just those who are being prayed for, but let's give it away. Why are we so hard on each other when we know the truth? You are superstars in the eyes of an almighty God this morning. Amen. So let's give that away. And let us make a deal with each other and with God that if he was going to visit us, that he could never use verse 4 against us. Amen. If he was going to visit you in your prayer closet, he could never use verse 4 against you. Another thing I want us to agree on is that as the devil comes to tempt. Yes, he has power, but he has no authority. And you have the authority to say, away from me, and God will send his power so the devil will flee. So you have authority this morning to not believe the lies of the accuser. You have the Spirit of God living within you. And that is something that each of us needs to be very, very thankful for and very humbled for. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Do you feel good about that, everyone? What a wonderful family. Jennifer, are you doing good? Okay. Amen. Why don't you turn this? These girls are going to give you a big hug. Okay. Okay. Come on. Hug department. Okay, hug department. She's sick. Don't, no hug. So God is good.